Hello, I'm Hashim Ahmed, contributing editor at Tortoise Media. Welcome to this, the final episode in our series of podcasts on economic clusters, hosted by the CBI in partnership with Virgin Media O2 Business. We've concluded our series of think-ins, live, unscripted discussions featuring a range of experts where we discussed how economic clusters can help drive innovation and economic development. We've covered skills, innovation, finance, and leadership. Today, we're tackling our final topic of the series, how regions and nations can help the UK become internationally competitive. I'm joined today by Michael Anstey, partner at venture capital firm Cambridge Innovation Capital, and Dan Metcalf, director of marketing, communications, and community at the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus. Mike, Dan, welcome. We've just had this session discussing a huge array of issues. I wondered what your reflections were on the topic that we have just discussed, starting with you, Dan.
Thank you. And hi, and thanks for having me. I think it was a really interesting conversation. I think I was really struck by a couple of things. Firstly, how kind of everyone on the call, coming from a range of different perspectives, was really talking about getting our narrative right and getting about how we kind of improve the way we communicate, particularly internationally, about the work that's here and how we see this at Harwell campus a lot. You know, you bring politicians for a tour, you'll bring investors for a tour, and they'll be completely blown away by what they find and didn't know about it. So there's something that, in comparison to other places, we haven't quite got that right. And I think the second thing was the sort of level of investment and of optimism in Oxford and Cambridge, in that sense that we will be backing and creating some truly impressive global companies over the next few years. That pipeline is really strong, and making sure that we're creating an environment that makes that very hard job of creating companies of that scale and the benefits that you see from companies of that scale really take off.
And for you, Mike, what's been your reflections on what you've heard today?
Yeah, I would completely agree with what Dan said. It's always exciting when you have a group of people from very different backgrounds coming together to talk about a difficult subject. And what was incredible today is that actually there's complete alignment on what we're trying to achieve and a belief that the Oxford-Cambridge arc could be and should be one of the leading innovation ecosystems in the world. And the question is actually how we do that. And so it was encouraging to think about us working together as an ecosystem to make that happen.
The narrative is something that I have seen everywhere we have gone, whether it's Glasgow, Liverpool, when we went to Cheltenham, obviously now discussing the Oxford and Cambridge arc. It was clear that the narrative, a coherent narrative and the story of a place and its role in building up its own cluster was a key ingredient. Now, why do you think that's so critical? And how does a place build on that and how we can then galvanize that? I wonder, first, your reflections on the role of narratives, but particularly these two cities and the arc that we've been talking about in particular.
In my mind, a narrative is absolutely crucial, and we need to spend more time on this. The narrative is our brand, and as you know, if you don't clearly articulate your brand, then someone else will define that for you. And I think we're at risk of that happening. When you think about Oxford and Cambridge, we haven't got the right narrative in place yet, and therefore we don't have the right brand yet. And I think we're mistaken as small university towns that lack ambition and that are interested in doing academic endeavors without the ambition of building global category leading businesses. And we need to change that. And so it's really, really important. Other ecosystems outside of the UK are all over this. And so we're at risk of falling behind because other ecosystems have their act together, have their stories straight, have their brands developed, and we need to catch up with that. The other thing that I've found is that we are great at talking about what we're doing right now. What we need to start doing is talking about where we're going and what our potential is. And that's what will motivate and inspire people. People are less inspired about what's happening today. People are more inspired about what we could achieve. And if we get ourselves organized with a coherent story, that will be very compelling.
And Dan, what about you? The role of narratives, but particularly also what about the role of narratives and how clusters can shape narratives and or vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, I think narratives are really important. And I think in the UK, we tend not to invest in those. So I'm not aware of a cluster in the UK that's invested in communications kind of research in the way that would be typical in lots of areas. And I come from a kind of campaigning background, and I'm surprised when I ask, and I haven't found it. And I'm pretty sure that when you go to other places and say the Raleigh Technology Park in the States, that they've really worked those things through. I think one of the reasons for that is no one's often in charge of a cluster. Like, they partly succeed because nobody's in charge. They're not top-down enterprises. They're ecosystems, as Mike was saying in the session earlier. But I do think there is a role for really kind of working hard at how we explain ourselves succinctly to the world. And you're right, if you don't do that, then those historical perceptions will lag. And, you know, I think Oxford has a history of, you know, academics have a history of associating clear narrative with public relations and negative things, instead of it just being a straightforward way of actually helping to achieve what you're about.
Mike, you're at Cambridge Innovation Capital, and you've been hugely successful as a venture capitalist in backing some of the UK's exciting early stage businesses, which have then gone on to become world beating. I wondered whether you could just tell us about what do the likes of Oxford and Cambridge offer to venture capitalists, investors in particular, and how can we translate that in terms of giving an opportunity to other parts of the UK to stimulate greater activity in regions and nations to be able to grow dynamic clusters? Because do you remember one of the things that was being discussed earlier was how much a place like Oxford and Cambridge have a duty that once they've attracted that investment coming in to share some of that wealth and what comes out of that?
So CIC is completely committed to the Cambridge ecosystem. We believe that this is one of the best places in the world to build a great business backed by world-class academics and truly world-changing technologies. And so we're committed to the ecosystem. We have all the fundamental ingredients to cook something fantastic. And what we do is we provide capital and we provide our expertise to help founders achieve their vision, achieve their goals. But you're right. There is a responsibility that we have as investors. There's a responsibility to exploit these opportunities to their fullest potential and exploit in a positive way, not in a negative way, but to ensure that what comes out of these ecosystems achieves its full potential. And some of these have the possibility to truly change the world. And what's disappointing is if you sell out too early and you don't allow the benefit to happen locally here, and job creation, wealth creation leads to very, very positive outcomes. What growth also does of these companies is it expands into the regions outside of these cities. And our biggest company is a company called CMR Surgical, which started in Cambridge. It's now a very successful company, and it's growing outside of Cambridge. For example, they've just built a manufacturing plant in the outskirts of Cambridge in one of the areas that needs support and will benefit from new jobs being created.
CMR is the one that does the robotics for operations.
That's exactly right. So they do medical robotics. And so the core R&D is happening in Cambridge. And manufacturing these robots is happening now in Ely. And so that's a great story where we're spilling out into the broader region and supporting jobs, supporting economic growth outside of Cambridge where it's needed.
Dan, these places may be the places that attract venture capitalists, but we also must be mindful about the need to share that global wealth that comes to regions and nations and in the context of clusters.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's a nice analogous story of Oxford Nanopore, who again started out at Oxford. They used some of the national facilities that we have at Harwell. So we have about £3 billion worth of scientific infrastructure, like a synchrotron and a laser facility, satellite testing, etc. They used some of that expertise and grew out, and now they do advanced manufacturing on Harwell campus and employ people from areas around Oxfordshire, which are often quite deprived. So there's a nice analogy there. I think Harwell was set up to be a national resource. So one of the advantages, you know, we have about 45 universities working with us. So we have, you know, the University of Manchester has a site, a team based permanently there. So we work really hard with that. And we have sister campuses too. So we have the one we're closest to is in Daresbury, and we have a long track record of working back and forth there. And some of our team have dual roles. So I think there are definitely ways in that you can do it, but definitely when we are touring around investors, CEOs of major pharmaceutical companies from the US or from India even, they're drawn to the critical mass of kind of talents and R&D talent, which is rare, and other aspects of the UK. So Oxford and Cambridge are a big draw for them. But I think as they get to know the UK and they get to understand how it works, you do see that growth pattern. So I think it's probably not enough for us to just let that happen passively and hope that it does. That sounds a little bit maybe too trickle down for me personally. I think we need to be more active about how we do that and have that as part of a plan.
As an outsider coming into the UK, Mike, I wondered, what was your perception of the UK as an investment location, and how have you found it change in your mindset over the years? And what do you think we need to do more of to make it a more attractive place to come and invest and stay?
So my career previously has been in North America, and there's the question that I was asked by my friends and colleagues, why move to Cambridge? Why would you not go to Boston or go to the Bay Area? Why come to Cambridge? And part of that is because those that are not in Cambridge or not familiar with Cambridge don't understand the potential of the area. Oxford being the exact same. So I can treat these cities sort of synonymously. But what I did appreciate, which many don't, is that this is one of the most exciting places for novel innovations. The science is just as good as Boston, just as good as the Bay Area, just as good as what's happening in Israel. And there was a shortage of capital and a shortage of expertise to build large businesses. And so as an investor, that's a great place to go. You want to go where there's fantastic deal flow and fantastic talent, which just needs capital and expertise to help fulfill the full ambition. So for me, it's a no-brainer to set myself up in Cambridge and move my family here and really commit to the ecosystem.
And Dan, what about the UK's perception at the moment? I mean, there's a lot of political instability. There's the sort of semi-damage done by the perception of the post-Brexit world and post-pandemic. I mean, what are your thoughts on the kind of perception that we might be giving to investors who are looking from the outside coming in, and what more we can do to help strengthen sort of the UK's position in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, investors really like stability. So when that changes, that affects their assessment of a place. But the ones that we're talking to, you know, Harwell has received a large investment from Brookfields, who are a major international development. I think the investment in Harwell is one of the biggest foreign direct investments in the UK in the last couple of years. And so they saw the fundamentals as really sound. As Mike was saying, the core talent base, the core products and ideas coming out are really strong. And they like a lot about the UK environment. So they like the relative transparency around doing business, the stability of law, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's important that we access that. And, you know, I was speaking to a couple of Americans who've moved over here, and partly they're moving over here because they think the quality of life is much better than in the US. They think their children are safer. So, you know, we have to look at where we are. But I think often in the UK, we have a habit of downplaying our strengths. And actually, we do have a lot of strengths. I'm not minimizing the challenges that there are, but we do have a lot of strengths, and I think they're a really strong foundation and a competitive globally, actually, against pretty much anyone.
What about collaboration in the context of the clusters approach? It is quite noticeable that sometimes we appear to extend the sort of connecting up and collaborating with other international clusters as not being a real priority. And I wonder, Dan, whether it's really important that in the cluster approach that we don't necessarily believe that it's a zero sums game, and we try and get investment and people who are trying to grow their businesses to try and understand that collaboration is the best way forward. I wondered whether that's something that we need to tackle a lot more in some circumstances.
I think you're right. And you know, there's a line that gets used a lot at Harwell about innovation as a team sport. And actually developing these things, you know, the kind of technology that you're talking about with the robotic surgery, I mean, that's a ferociously hard thing to do. And it requires an incredible array of skills and talent and has those knock-on benefits. One of the things that Harwell has done is deliberately invested in the sort of connective tissue around clusters. So we employ cluster managers who are dedicated, you know, experts in their field, who have this great job, which is to understand that community, connect people across it, and build out opportunities. And we've gone from having kind of two or three space organizations a few years ago to over 100 now. But that space industry in the UK is a really interesting success story. And that goes from Cornwall, where we're launching a satellite in September for the first time, all the way up to Scotland. You have these kind of little hubs. And what that community is very good at is the conversation and the swapping and the supporting of each other. And there are different roles for each of those places, but it does make for a really interesting and collaborative endeavor. So there's a lot of collaboration because what they're trying to do is so technically challenging.
And your thoughts on that as well, Mike?
Yeah, I absolutely see the trend of mega clusters emerging. Globally, this is certainly happening. On a local scale, you can talk about a cluster around the Golden Triangle, and that's the obvious one. But even that is relatively subscale. And actually connecting the Golden Triangle to the Northern Powerhouse, you know, that becomes a mega cluster, and then you start to get to scale right there. And those are the sorts of things that are happening in other areas. As a side note, I have such a pet peeve about the word cluster, because a cluster is just things co-located, right? I always like to use the word ecosystem, because that involves interdependencies, that involves the concept of life and movement and a very dynamic system. And so you need to be an ecosystem, not a cluster, for things to really get exciting. And the challenge is, how do we create an ecosystem between Cambridge and Oxford? I think the ARC is a great initiative, but then how do you bring London into it? And then how do you bring it up to Manchester? You know, those are tough things that we need to solve, but we have to do that to get to the scale needed to become world leading.
And finally, what do you both think we need to do to get business leaders to drive growth and investment? I mean, what's the one thing that they can do immediately that you would say could help actually drive more growth and investment? To you, Dan, first.
That's a good question.
Dan's thinking, what do you mean by business leader?
You're a business leader, Mike, somebody who is in business, but who's also showing leadership in whichever way they are doing so.
I mean, one thing we have found is there's been historically a lot of very conservative behavior around science and technology real estate. So if you compare us with other countries, so, you know, a lot of science parks that will only build a new building if they have a pre-let agreed, and all of those things just take too long, and we just don't have enough of that infrastructure. And I think it's becoming a stronger and stronger bet for companies. So that's, you know, building out with vision and a word Mike used in the discussion earlier, you know, conviction behind these mega trends and getting ahead of the curve, I think is really important. So, you know, that those fundamentals are there. If we want to go faster, we're going to have to take more risks, and there's capital there. We think there's just generally a level of kind of passivity around that doesn't need to be.
Your thoughts on that, Mike?
The biggest challenge we have is around talent, right? There's a shortage of talent, and that's technical talent. And despite companies moving and setting up in Cambridge and businesses being grown here, because of the talent, we're still short of it. We're short of experienced leadership for companies, and so talent is a theme. How do we solve that? Well, we need to make the UK a really exciting, attractive place for people to move to and for people to stay in, rather than leaving for other places. And that's around being very, very thoughtful as we undergo expansion, thoughtful as we think about creating new areas for homes and creating new science parks. It needs to be a place that we want to live and work. And without that, there's lots of competition from other ecosystems around the world that will pull talent very, very quickly. And that's probably us needing to have better communication coordination with local and regional government. And sometimes there's a disconnect between what business wants and what local and region government want. I think actually we all want the same thing, but sometimes we don't articulate it well enough, and we don't communicate well enough and work together well enough. And so perhaps there's a bridge there that we can build and ensure that we're all on the same page, because we hear about issues with planning, we hear about issues with all sorts of things. It feels solvable if we get the right people in the room and have a real conversation.
Thank you very much for your time, Mike, and thank you very much for your time, Dan. I hope you've enjoyed this series exploring the potential of the UK's economic clusters. For more information on the CBI's clusters work, including thinking write-ups, case studies, and the latest live learnings from their live learning demonstrator in Humber, please visit their digital platform at www.cbi.org.uk/CBI-clusters-playbook.